Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, oh glory, paint the breeze.
Things today, the birthdays. Let's get the birthdays. They're not as many as we thought they would be. One of the women who are famous in French history is an assassin. And of course, I guess you got to watch who's coming in your bathroom when you're taking a bath if you are a controversial political figure. Charlotte Chaudray stabbed Marat, who was part of the triumvirate that was ruling France before Napoleon took over and after the guillotine of Louis XVI, when the French Revolution, like a modern revolution, go mad. And Marat was Marat, and there's a famous play called Marat Sade. It was Marat, Robespierre, and I forgot the other guy. Anyway, she stabbed him in his bathtub, and I guess she was guillotined. Still don't know her motivations. Among the other birthdays today, we have, one of the finest, Charlotte Chaudray was born today. We have another famous Frenchman, figure in their history, the great novelist, writer, Alexandre Dumas. He's probably best known for The Three Musketeers, which is, I think, a lot of it's fiction, but it's based on the special military contingent, great swordsman, who had to deal with the evil Cardinal Richelieu. Now, in French history, there were two cardinals. These are Roman Catholic, supposedly priests, who were also prime ministers of France. It was Richelieu, and then there was Mazarin. And they had their own private army, secret police. They had more power in some cases than the King of France. And this is another reason why there should be strict separation of church and state. As I always said, the only separation of church and state in America is on April 15th. A great Spanish composer, since we're still on the European continent, Enrique Granados, his birthday is today. Another great English novelist, Hilaire Belloc, was born today. A great Scottish actor who did a lot of American movies like Charge of the Light Brigade, How Green Was My Valley, Donald Crisp, he was born today. For those of you who like baseball, Leo Durocher, manager, I think, the New York Yankees, or correct me if I'm wrong, might be the New York Giants, before they came to San Francisco. He was, I forgot her name, Lorraine Day, but she made some dumb comment, and she got trash for it. But he was a great baseball manager. He was born today. Those of you who liked the 70s comedy, social with social relevance, I guess, Norman Lear was born today. He's the creator of All in the Family. Of course, some people wish there were, some people weren't in that family. Then the great New York drama critic, I think he wrote for the New York Times, Vincent Canaday, he was born today. Among the deaths today, and I didn't have time to research entirely this, but it's a very relevant case. Montgomery Blair, who was the lawyer in the Dred Scott versus Stanford case, this was a case which went up to the U.S. Supreme Court, dealt with Dred Scott, the slavery issue, where he escaped from a slave state into free territory, and his master followed him and tried to get the U.S. Marshal. I think they did apprehend him, and so he filed a case in the U.S. Supreme, went up to the U.S. Supreme Court, in which Roger Taney, who was the first Catholic who was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, who was from Maryland, and he was Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. In his decision, it was like 35 pages, I went through it. Not only were blacks considered three-fifths of a man, I don't know how where he arrived at that figure, but also Native American Indians. And it was one of the cases that helped ignite the American Civil War. Let's see, who else? Oh, yes, and the other death, one of the problems we have with Iran today was because of setting up of this guy, Shah Reza Pahlavi. He was actually considered a Bedouin. During World War II, Iran was, of course, at the border between Russia, had a lot of oil, and the British have always had their, because they converted their ships at the beginning of the 19th century from coal to oil, they needed a safe and continuous source of oil, so they set up these desert Bedouins as rulers of these countries so they could control them in the Middle East. Yemen, it wasn't called that at the time, but Iran, Iraq, all these places. And during World War II, Pahlavi's father supported the Nazis, so they had to get rid of him. The British got rid of him and set up his teenage son as the ruler of Iran, so he was a puppet ruler, they could control him. There was I guess he was leaning toward the communists, certainly a leftist, Mossadegh, who became the prime minister of Iran. He said that the British and the Americans should share more of the oil profits from Iranian oil. Unfortunately, the CIA made a terrible mistake, and they sent in Kermit Roosevelt, who was the grandson of Teddy Roosevelt, related to FDR, and they overthrew Mossadegh, who was popularly elected. Probably could have worked with him, and they set up this guy Pahlavi, and he set up a secret police and all kinds of problems. Of course, he wasn't as bad as the current despots and the mullahs who are running that region of the world today. But maybe, you know, if we had used foresight, we could have worked with Mossadegh and given more of the oil profits to the Iranians instead of setting this guy up, Pahlavi. Anyway, he died today, died of cancer. He was overthrown in 1980, and we've seen what's happened in the 30 years since. Nothing but trouble and radical Islamists, some militant terrorism. So it was a very bad call on the part of our intelligence services. Another birthday today, events, excuse me. Walter Raleigh brought tobacco back to England, and smoking hasn't been the same since. That's one of the jokes. Continuing with English history, the Bank of England was chartered on this date. Also, in 1789, after the United States was finally kicked the British out, defeated Cornwallis at Yorktown, Congress set up the Department of Internal Affairs, Foreign Affairs, which later was renamed the U.S. Department of State, from State Department. One of my favorite cities, which I worked back as a correspondent, 1836, the city of Adelaide, Australia, was set up. Very beautiful town in South Australia. And and then in 1909, one of the Wright brothers, Orville, flew the first plane for the U.S. Army Air Force. And then in 1944, the British developed the first jet. That was about the same time as the Hitler and his people developed and flew the first jet. They didn't have enough of them. It was a Messerschmitt, I think 232 is the name. And let's see, what else today? Among the deaths today, they're not that many. Oh, what's the matter? Where are all the deaths? We had, we already did the deaths and we did the events. Now, a lot of people who are concerned about keeping their job, making their mortgages, preparing for their retirement, unless it's the retirement age has moved up to 70, some people are talking, they don't realize that affordable housing, which is funded primarily by the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, that there's a lot of scandals, a lot of corruption in this field. It started out necessarily as to provide housing for low-income people and legal immigrants. What's happened is the real estate racketeers, Saul Alinsky, Donald Turner, who incidentally was on the plane with Ron Brown when it crashed into that mountain in Croatia back in 1996. These people have set up these bogus organizations, these bogus nonprofits, to hijack the federal housing program. But what people don't realize is not only are they paying taxes that fund this, but they don't own it, and they will never own it. And it is controlled and manipulated. The people in it are manipulated. They're told who to vote for in some of these these housing organizations, such as ones in San Francisco. There's pornography, there's prostitution, there's drugs. They're building abandoned projects. And, of course, the people who set these things up, in some cases city employees, which is a great conflict of interest, to say the least, set it up with these corrupt lawyers so that they end up owning the project, which American taxpayers have paid for but will never own and can never hope to own. We think that as a public policy issue that these properties paid for, funded, subsidized with rent subsidies, Section 8, and also rehab monies, should be put in a public hand trust, a public land trust, to be owned by the United States in perpetuity, and make these people quit claim, because all it is a racket, and they don't really help poor people. And also, we had a deal here in San Francisco at the Demasling House, which I'll get into, and which you can go to my YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, YouTube, AmiCusVeritas, and you can see what happens when foreigners come in here and they hijack these community organizations. They abuse senior citizens, and they set up, in a couple of cases, what we call Motel 5s, or HUD high-end houses. What happens is they put out the word to foreign visitors or visitors coming to San Francisco, tourists, that you don't have to pay the $150 a night rents or fees down at the big hotels in San Francisco. We'll provide you with a nice room in a modern building for maybe $5, $10 a night. Well, how this works is this, that in the Demasling House, this is what they did. This guy Garcia, of the Garcia crime family, had his minions go around and knock on the doors of these senior citizens, like especially widowed women, and tell them, you've got a visitor. And if they object, he threatens them with eviction or intimidates them. One woman had a heart attack. She was a widow of a veteran who survived Bataan Corregidor. And this is what goes on. There are other scams. The $5 or $10 is pocketed by the management of that particular organization, the Demasling House. They don't report it on their income, which they're supposed to report to HUD. And of course, if they did, HUD would have to intervene and maybe evict the management company. It hasn't happened yet, even though there have been documented complaints. And in one case, at the Demoiselle House, the operator of the Garcia clan imported Sammy Yu, who was a hitman from Manila. And he tried to intimidate these veterans who had survived Bataan Corregidor, and they stood up to him, and he fled before the FBI could apprehend him and went back to Manila. But these things go on. It goes on with Mission Housing, which is another big housing racket operated here in San Francisco and in the Bay Area. But we're going to provide you with documentation of some of these deals, of real estate transactions. In the Steve Mary case, one of the so-called journalists who briefly covered it turned out, after he wrote his hit piece, which we have and which we put up on the web, we discovered when we looked into his background that he got a low-income condo from the mayor's office of housing, which is funded by HUD. And when we exposed him, he finally sold the condo. We don't know where he is. Really don't care, but this is among the scandals that go on. Other people have gotten condos. In another case, a city alderman, or a city, what we call supervisors, even though the name's confusing, for a $100 campaign contribution, he facilitated a brand new apartment in a brand new building for, it turns out, the architect's mother. She came up from Los Angeles, and this is documented, gave Tom Amiano $100, you know, such a deal, to get into this new HUD-subsidized building. And when I called her on it, she said, "Oh, my son, the architect." So, you know, and she originally, Mrs. Stoller, originally came from New York via Los Angeles, and I don't know who paid her way up here, but she got, for $100, she got this low-income apartment. And her son was one of the politically connected architects, like Albert Speer, that type. And he, along with somebody else, had designed the housing project. And he could well afford to take care of his mama. So these are some of the things that go on. This controversy that's going on right now in Congress, Robert La Follette, I'm going to replay that. He brought this up, what every citizen's obligation to the country and to the community, that's a bad word, is. And I think it's important that people realize that you have an obligation to stand up to these people. Otherwise, they're going to walk all over you. And as I told somebody today, the meek don't inherit the earth. They'll be lucky to afford to inherit the dirt. And this is exactly where they end up. If you allow them to bully and intimidate you, they will, and you will get no sympathy because you don't stand up for your own rights. And you have an obligation to do this. And, you know, you don't expect the newspapers to stand up and expose all this corruption, intimidation, this bullying, and this buggery that's going on. Some of these news people, media morons, that I call them, are engaged in the same practices. Now, the media morons, I'll give you a definition, are the people who lie, who distort, who omit, and who also, when called on their inaccurate or false or misleading news reporting, don't correct that. Those are in that category too, those type of people. There are decent, real journalists out there who try to do a job in the industry that is constantly changing to video, iPods, the web. Print journalism is not going to be the same 20 years from now, maybe even 10 years from now. So these journalists are concerned about their paychecks right now, and some of them who are new coming into the field or who've only been there maybe 10 years are worried about, will there be a newspaper or media entity that I will be employed at by the time I reach retirement age? So it's a legitimate concern, but again, the media is the fourth estate. The fourth estate, that term comes from the 17th century in England, where in England the press would, in the House of Parliament, had the balconies. And one of the prime ministers was making a point on the floor of the House of Parliament, and he pointed to the balconies and he said, "There, gentlemen, is the fourth estate." The term originally comes from the French, where just before the French Revolution, there were three estates in France. The first estate was the church and supposedly God. The second was the king. The third was the French assembly. And what that meant, that all these were constituencies that had their role in French society. And then it was the English who came up with this fourth estate, and the term has survived down through the ages. Unfortunately, a lot of these media people have sold their credibility for a weekly or monthly paycheck. So this is something that people should realize, that how it's changed, and unless we keep on these people to tell the truth, and when they make a mistake, to correct those mistakes, we're just going to have less and less reporting, and even less that's accurate, truthful, and fair. For some reason, I'm having a little problem catching this, but we want to memorialize the Norwegians. I have a special feeling for the Norwegians because when I was in college, my university was chosen to represent Norway at the Model United Nations up in Seattle, Washington, back in the 70s. And, of course, we did things that the Norwegians thought we were even further left than they were. We had fun, but it was a learning experience, the Model United Nations, which I think has a lot to contribute to students who learn about the world. I don't think we should have world government, but we need to cooperate with each other. But let me play the La Follette. Robert La Follette was a, quote, a liberal senator from Wisconsin, and I want to play his comments on what every citizen must do his duty, and especially now.
America is not made in the making. It has today to meet an impending crisis, menacing as any in the nation's history. It does not call a sound to arms, but it is nonetheless a call to patriotism and to higher ideals in citizenship. The patriotic citizenship of the country must take its stand and demand of wealth that it shall conduct its business lawfully, that it shall no longer furnish the most flagrant examples of persistent violation of statutes while invoking the protection of the courts, that it shall not destroy the equality of opportunity, the right to the pursuit of happiness guaranteed by the Constitution, that it shall keep its powerful hands off from legislative manipulation, that it shall not corrupt, but shall obey the government that guards and protects its rights. Mere passive citizenship is not enough. Men must be aggressive for what is right if government is to be saved from those who are aggressive for what is wrong. There is work for everyone. The field is large. It is a glorious service, this service for the country. The call comes to every citizen. It is an unending struggle to make and keep government representative. Each one should count it a patriotic duty to build at least a part of his life into the life of his country, to do his share in the making of America according to the plan of the Fathers.
That was Robert La Follette, was known as a great populist senator in the state of Wisconsin. And to honor the Norwegians, the memory of those who died violently, this is a memorial piece of music from our archives. Well, folks, we'll be back Friday. We're going to have hopefully some new guests, and we'll have the wide focus, public policy questions, and continuing on some of the things you wanted to and needed to know but didn't know where to look, who to ask, and how to ask. So this is Peter Paul Vizzola. Thank you for listening. And this will remain in the archives. You can download to your iPod or your computer. Good night.